If you missed the show,
check out Montreal's number one morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy replay podcast.
All right, so apparently you should watch this type of movie if you want to get both you and your partner in the mood. We're taking your guesses at 92925. Mm-hmm. Good morning. It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy. One of the first guesses that came through was a Christmas movie. And that in fact would actually work for me more than the type Nikki. Of movie I'm about to tell you about. Oh. So I want to know, what's the first movie you'd think to pop on if you wanted to get lucky with your partner?
I like going for a good Pixar movie.
A good Pixar?
Yeah, it's got everything. It's got some laughs. It's got some emotions. It's, you know, it's playful. It can be serious at times, but it's not too heavy.
That happens to be the last type of movie that would get me.
Are you serious?
Yeah, okay. It takes me back to my childhood.
Change my game plan.
Any sort of Disney or Pixar movie? No, and that's not it, Sam. You creep. Andy, what's the first type of movie you'd pop in if you wanted to get lucky with your partner?
I mean, I've kind of got a go-to movie that I always want to play. It was The Princess Bride.
Okay. So,
but that is kind of like a chick flick, and you said it's not a chick flick?
It's not a chick flick. That is not the answer. I've never seen that movie, in fact.
Oh, you haven't?
Ooh, no.
It's a good one.
Oh, it's
okay,
so good.
So I'll tell you the type of movie that you should be popping in. Perfect time of year for this, actually. Experts say that horror film scenes make you brandy. They put you in the mood.
Really?
Yeah, they said it's a matter of simple human instinct to want to be as close to another person as you can when you're scared. And the phenomenon is actually from prehistoric times when we needed to bond, especially in really dangerous situations, and increase the chances for survival. So they said that state of fear and anxiety actually makes us have stronger feelings of sexual attraction toward other people.
This makes perfect sense. I mean, you love horror movies, right, Nikki?
No, I despise, horror movies. So, I don't think I could make it through. It could get me in the mood because I would just be like, let's make out instead of watching this movie.
Right,
I don't want to go through it at all.
Well, when was the last time you saw a whole horror movie?
Like, I haven't. The Joker in theaters, and people would argue that's not a horror movie at all.
Yeah, no. Right. The problem I have with horror movies is that the plots are always so lackluster. I mean, you're just sitting through for a bunch of scary moments, but the rest of the movie is just
I'm the type of person who, like, a movie is going to get me in the mood anyway. I don't think a movie is going to do it.
The old classic arm over the shoulder, a little yawn,
I'm more of like in-depth conversation.
Oh.
Like, tell me
a real thinker.
Yeah, tell me about who you are. Tell me what makes you tick. Like, those kind of things will get me in the mood. Would you be the type to pop in a movie thinking that it's going to work? Like, it's going to put the person you're with?
Yes. There's a lot of pressure. I mean, within the first few dates, especially when you start seeing someone for the first time, you need to have that intimacy, right? The movie is the perfect thing. You're on the couch. You can make your move. You get comfortable with each other. But the movie selection is so important because you could lose someone within the first 5 minutes of a movie.
Andy, did Princess Bride work for you many times in the past?
It did.
Yeah?
It's a go-to. It's a never-fail movie. I will highly recommend it if you're looking for a good movie for your next date night. And it's kind of scary. It's got some scary scenes. I would say I tried to get Kelly to watch Saw. Do you know that movie?
Yes.
That wasn't romantic at all. It didn't work. Yeah. When they were kind of like killing each other, that didn't work for me.
You want to go more horror, less gory? You know, I think the gore can sort of...
People said drinks. I mean, alcohol. Okay, sure. Alcohol will do it for sure. Music. And that is actually my number one. Music. Every single time. Saturday night, dinner in, some wine, good conversation, and music in the background the whole time.
What type of music?
That's like R&B. Like, ooh, good R&B.
Right. Not like hard rock?
No, like R&B. Drake, The Weeknd.
Bump and grind.
Something. Yeah, exactly. Right. That'll do it for me every single time. That is not on the list of the top turn-ons, though. Okay, so I'll go through first the top four turn-ons for men, okay?
Okay.
All right. In at number four, when their sports team wins, apparently.
Oh, yeah. I got it going.
Get a guy in the mood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get a nice, it gets me riled up for a moment, but it doesn't translate like romantically or intimately.
I thought you were going to say I get a nice rise out of that, and I was like, how interesting.
Oh, that would have been good.
All right.
Emotional rise.
In at number three, men said that a huge turn on for them was winning a large amount of money. Winning money puts them in the mood.
It's a power trip.
Really?
Yeah, I think when in that moment you feel like you're inconquerable. Like,
good.
You just
go play bingo then on Friday nights.
Maybe I will.
In at number two, something I didn't consider that men really ever thought of was fresh bed sheets. I understand that women, that'll get me going too.
Yeah.
But for men, do you ever think of this?
Maybe when we make the bed for the woman, you know, and it turns them on, I guess.
Oh, you think that's it?
Oh, yeah.
Because I've had exes, I mean, where I burned their sheets the first night I stayed over there.
Oh, that'll
disgusting.
Do it too.
So it's like, if you're trying to get anyone in the mood, maybe wash them once in a while. And the number one turn on for men, a night out with the boys.
Oh, yeah.
Which makes sense. There's too much testosterone.
Yeah, I know. But only to come back home to, you know, our better halves.
Yeah, but you're coming home with all the vibes from your other guys acting all obnoxious and you smell and you're like, let's do this.
It never works for me because I get home too late and she's like, why are you home so late? Where were you? And then it's just the mood's done.
Yeah. No, this is supposed to be a turn on for you, not her.
I might be turned on, but I'm stopped right then and there.
Boys' nights are not turn ons for women.
Oh, that's
okay,
it.
For the top four turn ons for women, and Kim Karen, you can weigh in if you're into this, okay? In at number four, a hot bath. We'll do it. That moment just to relax and have your own space.
With the candles.
With the candles. Yeah.
And some music.
This exists.
I know you're a mom. In at number three, night out with the girls. So same thing. I think there's just like a lot of estrogen around.
Does it do it for you when you're with the girls? I know that you're very excited whenever you get a chance to.
Well, you get all dressed up. You're feeling hot. You're feeling your best. Your girls always like pump you up. For sure. I can see that happening for sure. Fresh bed sheets in at number two.
There you go.
Again, not a shock. Kim?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm stretching right now. I'm envisioning.
That'll do it. And in at number one, top 10 turn-ons for women is losing weight when they've dropped some pounds. And it makes you feel better about your body. So you want to jump in the sack more, basically, when you're feeling hot.
We love you no matter what size you are.
It goes for both men and women. I 100%. Have totally dated guys who are like covering their stomachs a little bit before they jump in bed. It goes both ways.
Okay.
Yeah. You got to turn the lights out. You don't want to be totally seen.
Exactly. But I think in past experience, it's not only losing the weight, it's when you're working out and healthy, you have this like energy coursing through your body where you're just like, I can do anything,
which translate into your physical
intimacy. In the bedroom.
There you go.
Thank you for being careful with that, Sam. I appreciate it.
I'm trying really hard here.
So there you go, all of those things to get your significant other in the mood. And we also learned you can pop in a horror movie and that will work you're welcome for this.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Okay, what happens when someone's child is around the same age or maybe even older than the person that they're dating? You can text us this morning. So we all know actor Dennis Quaid, right?
Yes.
Yep. He is 65 years old now, and he just confirmed his engagement to his 26-year-old girlfriend, Laura Savoy. And like I said, I feel like both in Hollywood and both in real life, we've become really used to seeing big age gaps in relationships. It doesn't really seem that surprising anymore, right?
Doesn't really faze us until children are involved in the family dynamic.
Well, in this situation, it really got me thinking because Dennis Quaid, and Meg Ryan have a son who is 27 years old. So this means that Dennis's son is older than his fiance. His son is her senior.
Yeah, he's dating someone that's younger than his son.
Exactly. So do you think that this is in any way out of line for someone to date someone who is their child's age or maybe even older or even close to their child's age, a few years?
And I'm very much a believer of sort of live and let live. You know, if you're not doing any harm onto other people, then, you know, go live your life. But
does his son feel like there's harm being done
onto him?
Well,
that's the thing. Like, did he consider the age of his son or how that changes the family structure? It's tough to impose like a matriarch on the family when the person is younger than your kid. I don't know if that...
They're in Hollywood, so let's not assume anything about their life is regular, but
let's assume the family dynamic is dysfunctional like everyone else is in Hollywood.
Exactly. But let's assume this happened. I actually had a date with a guy whose daughter was 3 years younger than me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had her when he was young. He was about 19 years old. This was a few years ago. He was almost 50. Okay. He was a little bit older at the time than guys that I generally dated, but hey, nothing was working for me. And I'm like, why not try?
Change it up.
Why not try? And I gotta say, it was only one date and I found it really tough. I think maybe if I had even been the same age but at a different stage in my life, things could have been different. And if I felt way older than I was, things would have been different. But at the time, I really didn't. And there was actually something I found oddly creepy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
what
I couldn't stop thinking. Well, it was the fact that his daughter is going to have friends over whom he sees as like viable dating options now.
You sort of question
his daughter's friends. Yeah.
His judgment. Did you get along with her?
It was only one date, so thank God I had never met her.
I was like, you stay in touch after?
But even though it was one date, because I'm crazy just like everyone else, and so you start to think ahead even when you're just first talking to somebody or dating someone.
Right.
And I couldn't stop thinking about what she would think of me if we ever were to meet, and I didn't feel good about that. I was like, here's your new friend? Like, here's go on a play date with my new girlfriend? Like, I don't understand how he was going to make that introduction.
It's tough, though, because, you know, when you meet a guy in your case and you know that they have kids, you don't want to start asking or probing, you know, right off the bat before you meet. I mean, you want to give the guy a chance without sort of, you know, without any preconceived notions.
Mm-hmm.
So do you ask? I mean, do you delve into how old the kids are before going in?
And that's a question you'd ask a stranger. That is not private or personal. Like, of course, that is just small talk that you're having. Absolutely.
And does the relationship that they've had with the mother beforehand play into fact?
Like with if the she's mother?
Still, yeah, like if she's still in the picture.
No, I'm not trying to be anyone's mother, but look, my mom was young. My mom had me young, and she had a lot of single years too.
Right.
And had she brought home a guy and been like, "Hey, here's Justin," and I was like, "Oh, he's in my class," it would have caused some major issues.
Right.
Andy, what do you think?
Well, I mean, here's the thing with Dennis Quaid's son. His son's 27 years old. It's not like he's looking for a strong matriarchal person in his life. I'm assuming Meg Ryan is still with us. I don't know what their relationship is, but she's still alive at least. He's 27 years old. He's his own man. I mean, it might be a little bit different for his father to bring home somebody so young, but let's say Dennis Quaid didn't have any kids at all and he was dating somebody that was 26 years old. You would say, oh, he's dating somebody young enough to be his daughter. And that happens all the time. It just so happens right. that he's got a son. But I mean, we're not talking about a 12 or 13 year old.
Miriam, what do you think of this?
Oh my God, it's awful. Awful.
Awful?
Have you been in a situation? Have you been close to a situation like this?
Definitely. My father, when my mom passed away after 50 years of marriage, he decided to a year later to marry a 26 year old. He was 76.
He was Whoa. 76 and he married a 26 year old when your mother passed away?
Yes.
Whoa.
Oh my gosh.
After 50 years of marriage. So anyways, and my niece was, I think, 23 at the time.
Oh and my. So that was his granddaughter. So he was dating someone like his granddaughter's age.
Exactly.
Oh. Miriam, did you ever, like, sit down and have a talk about how you felt about this?
No. No. You don't do that with him. He was too much of an authoritarian. Yeah.
I hear you.
How did things work out with your father and his new wife?
Well, he lived about 8 years with her, and she took all the money and all the real estate, whatever.
Oh, the worst.
She was actually, after 3 years, she dated his friend.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
So maybe the problem wasn't with him.
And then she married him when my dad passed away.
Oh my gosh.
Miriam, your story makes Dennis Quaid just sound like super functional and healthy, really.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing with us and thanks for listening.
You're most welcome. Thank you guys. Have a good day.
You too. The responses on our text line to that story are just, oh my gosh.
There's so many turns. You know, a lot of people can relate though. This text says, morning guys, I'm 30. My boyfriend is 54. We've been together for 6 years. There's nothing wrong with it. He is a son 5 years younger than me, so pretty similar in age, but we're all pretty normal about it. And this is true. Age is just a number.
It can work. There is a correlation, though. I mean, the science is there. There is a correlation, a significant correlation between wider age gaps and increased divorce. Like, that is just a fact.
Yeah, makes sense.
It is. A previous study indicated that the sweet spot, and I think this is, like, how do you find your soulmate within this amount, this age gap? But they said the sweet spot may be around 1 year.
Oh, come on.
That you should date somebody within 1 year of your age.
Wow, okay. I mean, there are people on the text line that are rightfully worried about what it is that they talk about. Like, the emotional
I think of that.
Connection. Because the 26-year-old is taking selfies every 2 seconds. I mean, as a 65-year-old, like, what do you want that in your life?
I get
for?
It. My sister is 21 years old, and she's so cute. You know that.
Adorable.
She gets hit on by everybody, including right. guys around my age. And I want to be like, do you want me to tell you about this girl? Because she's just not there yet. Do you know what I mean? Like, you didn't. She was so unreasonable last night throwing a hissy fit. Okay, I'm going to be in so much trouble for saying that. But I do have a hard time seeing what they would have in common.
At
absolutely.
At the end of the day, a mature 20-year-old is still a 20-year-old, right?
Okay, yeah, she's still 21. Yeah, that's it. The life experience. Experience isn't there, okay? I will no longer have a sister after saying this on air this morning.
Everything you missed from Montreal's favorite morning show.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
So another election has come and gone. Good morning. It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy. It happens so quickly in Canada compared to the U.S.
I know.
They start campaigning like 8 years in advance.
Oh, the worst.
And here, you feel like you barely get a minute to get to know these people, right?
It's very true. Yeah. Meanwhile, their posters will still be plastered all over the city for the next, I don't know, couple of weeks.
Until the next election.
Absolutely. So yesterday I went to go and vote. So you know the deal. You vote in your riding. And then once you show up to wherever that is, it happened to be like a community center on Notre Dame in my case, they split you up further based on your postal code. So everybody has a number like 50, whatever, right, 60, whatever. And so they wanted to move things along quicker. So they were trying. Things were a little bit chaotic, but the volunteers, and these people do volunteer to take care of all of these
hats
things,
off to
right?
them, yeah.
They were coming down the lineup and saying like, hey, is number 63 out here? And people from the end of the line would like run in and didn't suddenly get to vote right away when people had been waiting quite a long time.
They weren't observing the seniority of the line.
They weren't. Okay. So people are getting frustrated. Okay. And me being the Kathy or the Karen that I am now these days, I said to the supervisor, he had a thing on his chest that said supervisor. He was young, maybe like in his early 20s or something. He looked flustered. And I said, you know, I would hate for you guys to deter people from staying and voting because they're frustrated. I was like, but it's a little unfair the way that it's working because people are just walking in and getting to come in and vote where other people are waiting in the line for a long time. And he said, okay, I'm so sorry about that. So sorry. And I was like, no, it's no big deal. I know that it's important to you that people stay and have like a good voting experience.
Right.
So I say to the guy behind me in line, and we're pretty close to our turn now. And I said to him, like, you'd swear this is our first election ever in Canada. And he said, actually, this is the first time that I've ever voted in Canada.
Where is he from? Do you know?
He's from Iran, actually.
Okay.
And he moved here 4 years ago, obviously after the last election. Mm-hmm. And so he said this was his first time voting. And I was like, wow. So I asked him a couple of questions about the voting process where he's from. And he was like, if you think this is chaos, like, you have no idea.
I bet. It's funny.
What it's like.
I was chatting with a buddy who's from Pakistan a couple of weeks ago, and he was so excited to vote. He knew what everyone's platform was and just couldn't, because he knows that back home, it's not the same. You don't have the same sway in politics. And just to see his passion was really kind of cool because we almost take it for granted, you know, having lived here for so long.
He was so happy. He was so proud. And he had this like feeling of hope that as I looked around at the rest of us, who I'm assuming most of the people in the lineup maybe were born here, probably the majority, right? And like this hope that he had because he understands how bad things could be. It was in that moment where I was like, yeah, in Canada, we have a long way to go with a lot of issues. Some of those issues important to me, but at the same time, we are also very lucky. Both of those things are true.
So who did he vote for?
And I didn't ask him who he voted for.
Well, so you're not like that close with him. Okay.
But I saw another Iranian. I shared the story on my Facebook page afterward because I left there being like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I was even complaining about the lineup. Like what an honor to be able to do this, right? And another Iranian who I have as a Facebook friend said, all she's been thinking about throughout this whole process was how so many people have to put their lives on the line to vote back where she is from.
Yeah.
So being able to go into like a nice, clean community center, wait patiently in line with your probably Wi-Fi, your phone, and then vote for somebody who is none of, I think we can say that none of the politicians were evil, horrible human beings. You know,
that we know of.
But you know.
They're all liars, but they're not terrible people.
Yes, they all lie.
That's as bad as
it. We know they lie. Yeah. We understand that, but we kind of have an idea of how bad it can get. So it was really an eye-opening experience to me that I was really thankful for. Like, what are the chances,
nice.
Right?
So is he single? What's
oh
the...
Oh, my God!
Well, that's a perfect icebreaker.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Online at thebeat925.ca.
Or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play.
And live weekday mornings starting at 5:30.
Montreal's perfect mix. The Beat 925.